Support for KPLU comes from Carter Subaru, sponsor of KPLU's studio sessions and a steward of the environment by being on the road to carbon neutral. Carter Subaru has planted over 100,000 trees in the Mountains to Sound Greenway. Carter Subaru in Ballard, Shoreline, and CarterSubaru.com. Now presenting the Subaru Love Spring event.
I was lucky enough to see this trio at the Portland Jazz Festival last weekend. I think it might be the best trio working in jazz right now. They're amazing. Led by one of the top bass players in the world, the Grammy-winning Christian McBride out of Philadelphia, PA, featuring at the piano Christian Sands, also a dynamite composer, wrote his first song at age 5. At the drum kit, Ulysses Owens Jr., raised behind the drummer in the church band, his incredible chops always under control. Their next album will be a live record from the Village Vanguard, and we are thrilled to have them live in our studios today. Please welcome the Christian McBride Trio.
Thank you.
The Christian McBride Trio, Christian Sands piano, Ulysses Owens Jr. at the drums. The record most recent out here. New one live at the Village Vanguard coming soon. Christian McBride, you've led a wonderful big band, your band Inside Straight, terrific quintet. Was the trio inevitable, and why these guys?
Yes, I think the trio was inevitable. The reason why these guys is Ulysses I started working with first. He started touring with Inside Straight with my quintet. And throughout the lifespan of that band, Carl Allen was a drummer in the original lineup of Inside Straight. But because of his commitments with the Juilliard School, he didn't have a lot of opportunities to go on the road. He had to stay at home and take care of the school. So Ulysses came on the road and made the bulk of the gigs with Inside Straight. And we developed such a rapport. There were a couple of times where there was some dates booked for Inside Straight where both Steve Wilson, my saxophonist, and Warren Wolf, the vibraphonist, couldn't make it. So we decided to just take the gigs anyway and go as a trio. And shortly after that, Peter Martin was the pianist, who I played here with the last time I was here in the studio. I met Christian. Christian, I was introduced to him by the late, great Marion McPartland. And she said, you got to hear this 18-year-old kid. He studied with Dr. Billy Taylor and Hank Jones, and you're just going to love him. And that must have been around 2009, I think it was. And basically, I guess about 9-10 months after that, he started subbing for Peter in Inside Straight. So when that same situation happened again where I needed just a trio, I said, well, you know, let me try these guys out, see what happens. So after about 4 or 5 gigs, you know, I went, I think I might have something here.
Yeah. There's definitely something there, and the record out here is a must-have, as I said before, fantastic record. The new one, Live at the Village Vanguard, we'll talk about in a bit. And I was wondering, you guys have been working together for about 4 years now.
That's right.
What happens when you've been working together 4 years? How does the band change? Do you feel like there's not as much leading on the bandstand? You just guys get up there and off you go?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, we've fortunately had a very consistent schedule over the last 4+ years. You know, when you're with a group of musicians, or not even just musicians, just people, when you're together that often, you know, you learn each other's quirks and you know what's kind of going to happen, and you use that to your advantage when you're making music together. You know, that starts to gel very quickly, and you start to do things together without speaking about it because you already kind of have that rhythm going, you know? So, I mean, I love working with these cats.
Christian Sands, I'd love to ask you about working with Christian McBride and if working in this trio has changed the way you play music. I know you've written a lot of songs with McBride, too.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, it's definitely changed the way I play music and approach music. You know, I feel that being on the road with him, you know, has given me such a great foundation to build from for my own writing and for my own approaching different music with different musicians and different bands and everything like that. The biggest thing I'll have to say is that just being able to conduct yourself performing-wise when you're tired. I've learned that. Because, you know, our schedule, especially for all these years that we've been so busy, you know, our schedule is always up in the air, so you have to be able to improvise on the spot, you know, off the stage and on the stage, you know. And so to be able to do that and learning from McBride, you know, because we'll be tired, we'll have, you know, maybe 2 hours of sleep, and he'll come out and just hit and hit hard, you know, and you have to do the same, you know. So trying to figure out how to do that, you know, trying to also figure out just the business side of it, and, you know, watching him work and watching, you know, all this different, you know, how he interacts with people and, you know, signing autographs and all these kind of things, you know. So you learn a lot. And also just musically, you learn so much, you know, because he'll throw in some, I call them audibles, you know, he'll throw in these substitutions here and there, you know, and I have to be able to catch them. And so maybe not the first time, but maybe the second time we play it, you know, he may do the same thing. He may not, you know, so I just got to kind of be on your toes.
And keep just guessing.
always, you know, but you just, you know, it opens up your ears a lot.
Yeah. Ulysses Owens Jr., it must be a delight as a drummer to be working with a bass player who is as funky as Christian McBride.
Indeed. Yeah, it's a pleasure, man. I always say, you know, I get so many questions about working with him. And, you know, the obvious things about him is obviously his facility and his virtuosity. But I always say, to me, it's just great because he's an amazing bassist, meaning like he does the meat and potato stuff in an amazing way. So as a drummer, it's amazing to have this connection with him. And I always tell him he spoils me because I get a chance to play with him. And then when we're not working for a period of time, I always say he throws me out to the wolves. So, but no, I love working with this guy. And like Christian said, it's been such an honor to watch how McBride juggles everything. You know, like it to be in demand in the way that he's in demand and to be so consistent musically. That's one of the things that I think is really specific to him and his gifting is that he's very consistent on a high level. So mm-hmm. he demands that of us sort of indirectly every time we play. So it's an right. honor.
We're going to talk about the busy life of Christian McBride in the next break, but I want to get another song in here. Take it away, fellas. Cool. Thank you. The Christian McBride Trio, live in the studios here at KPLU. Christian McBride, I was thrilled to see you. I was watching the James Brown documentary, Mr. Dynamite, and all of a sudden on screen comes Christian McBride talking about James Brown. Could you tell me about how important his music was to what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I first discovered James Brown, I mean, like most of us, you know, in my childhood, and I first saw him on the Midnight Special when I was a kid, and it just absolutely blew my mind. And from that point on, you know, I must have been 6 or 7 years old when I saw that. And excuse me, I became obsessed with James Brown after that. And it became, first it was this obsession just as a kid watching somebody perform with that much intensity. But then once I started getting into music, I decided to kind of dig deeper and find out what makes his music what it is, you know. So throughout this odyssey, you know, I got to know all the guys in the band and got to know his management. And ultimately I got to know and work with James Brown. And when it came time to put this documentary together, there's sort of a, you know, what we call like a blue ribbon James Brown group. You know, it's like if you need information on James Brown, there's a handful of people that you have to go to.
Right.
And I was indoctrinated into that blue ribbon group a few years back. And when they asked me to be in the documentary and asked me to contribute, you know, like some lightweight consulting, that was like the ultimate dream for me, you know, because I got to play with James Brown. But then after his passing, you know, his family and all of the people that work with him was like, you know, talk to McBride, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, ah, okay.
And his music, I mean, it sounds like most of the music that you're making has some soul in it. I think James Brown really comes through in the music you're making, right?
Well, it's not just James Brown.
No.
I mean, you know, it's like a whole lot of soulful musicians that was around before him, during, and after him. So I think collectively we all kind of have that that rooted sound of the African-American tradition. And I mean, if it's swinging, it still has that rooted feel to it. You know what I mean? Because you listen to people like Count Basie or Cab Calloway or Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, even though they're playing jazz rhythms, it still is very much the same rhythms as old school church and old school blues. You know what I mean? So it's all in the same to me. And then when you hear R&B guys play a shuffle groove, it to me feels like Art Blakey and the Basie Band and Cab Calloway. So it's all part of the same tree.
We have also heard Christian McBride recently on National Public Radio. Popped up on All Things Considered the other day, talking about John Coltrane and Love Supreme. And you are also the host of a brand new show called Jazz Night in America, which
That's
is
right.
both video and a radio show. Could you tell us about working with NPR?
I love working with NPR. I think a couple of years back, there's a show based out of New York City on WNYC called Soundcheck, hosted by John Schaefer. And I got to sub for him for about 3 days. And that was my first time being on live radio. I mean, like live radio in New York where I was the host.
Yeah.
That scared me today. I don't get scared that easily. I get anxious, but I don't get like scared. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden about 60 seconds before we went live, I went, we're going live. Like, all of New York City is going to hear this. And this is not necessarily all music. I had to do, like, the leads for the news and all that stuff. I was like, today in Afghanistan. I was just like, whoa, okay. So I have a feeling that was sort of my unofficial audition, you know. But I've been doing a lot of work with, you know, I've been on various NPR shows throughout the years. And it's a group effort between WBGO in Newark, which is my home radio station, NPR and Jazz at Lincoln Center. So between the three of them, they tapped me to be the host, and I was more than happy to do it. I've been doing it now since October, and I'm just having a ball.
Fantastic. And speaking of having a ball, the live album will be coming out soon,
yes.
Live at the Village Vanguard. And I wonder, what kind of considerations do you have to take when you're making a live recording? It's not like a studio recording where you really get to, you know, get the mics just right, and
right.
You can isolate them. How do you go about thinking about a live record?
Well, as long as you embrace the imperfections that come with a live record and know that it's those imperfections that make live recordings so legendary and so classic, you're good to go. You know, it's just a mindset. As long as you realize that this is in the moment and you're not going to be able to go back and correct things, you know, don't approach it like, oh, I have to really take a killer solo now that we're recording. You play like you play every night. You know what I mean? And I think that goes to musicianship. If you decide now that we're recording live, I now have to play differently. I have to play more together. Then that means you haven't been giving your all when the tapes are not rolling. You know, and so, you know, why would we want to play with musicians like that?
Right. Know? Time for one more song. What would you like to finish with today?
A song that Brother Owens contributed to the trio. I did a live record with Benny Green many, many years ago, ironically, at the Village Vanguard.
Testifying.
Oh, my man. And we recorded Down by the Riverside. So we've taken that arrangement of Down by the Riverside and, you know, put our own spin on it. So this is Down by the Riverside.
All right. Thank you.